Thank you, Brother Webster, and of course, good morning to the Southland Church of Christ, Southland area Church of Christ. I want to thank those who have gone before us with the scripture reading, the prayers, and of course, John Young with those beautiful selections. I invite your attention this morning, and I'm going to the King James Version of the scripture. I like the King James Version. I have no problem with the translations. But for the sake of this message and the title of this message this morning, let's go back to Jeremiah chapter number 23. And I want to read verses 1 and 2. And then as it had been read in your hearing earlier, we'll flip over to John chapter 12 and read verses 47 and 48, after which I will give you a sermon topic for your prayerful consideration. In Jeremiah chapter 23, these are the words for us this morning. Jeremiah said, woe, or God says through Jeremiah, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, said the Lord. Therefore, thus said the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. He said, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, said the Lord. Again, the Lord says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Then in John chapter number 12 and verse number 47, Jesus says, and if any man hear my words, and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus said, he that rejected me and received what? Not my words, had one that judged him. The word that I have spoken, the Lord said, the same word shall judge him in the last days. Again, Jesus says, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I'm not going to judge you, because I came not to judge the world, but that the world through me might be saved. I use a couple of those two passages together this morning, Brother Webster, and I use for a subject. I call it this morning, church, who do you believe, the master or the pastor? Who do you believe, the master or the pastor? In light of our sermon topic this morning, we need to first set some premises and get a clear and precise understanding of who we're referring to as the master and the pastor. In other words, I need to provide you with an identity check, because I'm afraid that within our religious world of confusion in which we're living in today, there are all kinds of religious titles and names religiously, not fully understanding the true meaning or the proper designation as to who is worthy or entitled to wear or even be addressed with such identifying labels. You see, this word pastor, and we use it so loosely, but this word pastor or pastors, plural, is found in the Bible in particular times. And that's 8 times in the Old Testament and 1 time in the New Testament. And for the record, listen, this word pastor in the Greek as well as the Hebrew language literally is interpreted or translated from the word, as the brother used in his reading, the word shepherd, who basically was one that tended to the sheep of the pastor. But now, from a religious or a spiritual standpoint of view, this word pastor is not only synonymous with the word shepherd, but it also carries the same idea. It is also the same title or the same office of a bishop or an elder or an overseer of the church.
four different titles, all of the self-same office. In other words, in the New Testament scripture, a pastor is not necessarily the preacher. Even though a preacher can hold the office of a pastor, and so it was in the case, you know the story of Peter. Peter chapter 5 and verse number 1. But the preacher is not the pastor. But now when we talk about the preacher in the Holy Writ, and particularly in the New Testament scripture, a biblical preacher, get this, is also known as an apostle, a minister, and or an evangelist. And a preacher, according to Western New World Dictionary, is one that ministers and preaches the word of God. And then for those inquiring minds, they need to know, the preacher should never be referred to by the name or the title reverend. You see, a preacher should never be called or referred to as reverend, because according to Psalms chapter 111 and verse number 9, in 111 division of the Psalm and verse number 9, and yeah, I said it, and before I take any of it back, like the old preacher say, I'll add some more to it. You see, the title reverend gives God's name, and not a name or title that should be worn or given by men. You see, this word reverend, for the record, can be found in the Bible only one time. And in that one time, the word reverend exclusively, and particularly, the word reverend and distinctively refer to God. But the Bible says, and I'm reading it, Bible says, he that sent redemption unto his people, he that make his commandment forever. The Bible says, holy and reverend is his name, not their name, but his name. And so this morning, church, I'm careful about how I refer to and how and whom I give religious titles up to, because not only can this cause me to miss my chances of going to heaven, but it can even cost me my very life. But Job stated in Job chapter 32 and verse 22, Job said, let me not, I pray you, Lord, accept any man's position or person, and neither give flattering titles unto me. Job said, for I know not to give flattering titles, for in doing so, my maker will soon take me away. And so now that we've dealt with the pastor, now let me say something in regards to the master. As we keep in mind and keep in harmony, our sermon topic for today is entitled, Who Do You Believe, the Master or the Pastor? You see, religiously speaking, I know who the master is today, but just in case, there is someone who may be watching and listening to the Zoom telecast this morning who might be somewhat confused, because, listen, we have a whole lot of bootleg preachers running all over Chicago, all over the world. And these so-called televangelists today who are walking around acting like they are little gods and acting like they are the master and the head of the church. They're acting like they're a bag of chips and all of that. But I got some good news that you can use. And it's not coming to you this morning, church, straight out of Compton. But I'm bringing it to you straight out of the word of God. You see, in Matthew chapter 23, get your Bibles. You know, we encourage people. That's what I love about the Church of Christ. We encourage people to read their Bible for themselves. In Matthew chapter 23, and right at verse number 1, Jesus said that there were some scribes and some Pharisees who liked to sit in Moses' seat. And they were bearing heavy, grievous burdens on the people, the Lord says. But themselves, he said, they won't even lift a finger. And Jesus says that all their works, they do it just to be seen of men. And Jesus said, and they wear a certain type of clothes, just like some of our so-called Church of Christ preachers are starting to wear today. You notice that? Trying to look holy and look dignified. And they like to sit up in the pulpit with their little collar turned around backwards and sit up in the pulpit. And these so-called chief seats, they like to sit in with their legs crossed, with their shirt collars backwards. And Jesus said that they like to be called what? Rabbi, rabbi, which means master. But then Jesus strictly admonishes and warns those disciples. For he said unto them, but be ye not called rabbi, but one, only one, is your master, even Christ. And all ye, Jesus said, are just brethren. Not pastor, but brethren. Not reverend, but brethren. Not doctor. These preachers kill me today. I'm doctor so-and-so. I went to one convention, a Church of Christ convention, and there were so many doctors in the house, I thought I was at a medical convention. But Jesus said, be set aside. We're just calling yourself brethren. And then, like what is so prevalent in the halls and regular under the umbrella of Catholicism, Jesus goes further. He said, look, boys, call no man father upon the earth. Why, Lord? For one is your father, which is in heaven. And if you didn't get it the first time, then I'm telling you again, Jesus said, neither be called masters with a small M. For one is your master, and with a capital M, even Christ. So ladies and gentlemen, Christ is the master. And I have no qualms about it. And better yet, if you turn over to Luke chapter 18 and verse number 18, there was a rich young ruler who went to their father and referred to Jesus as the good master. Oh, I don't know about anybody else, but I stand this morning before you today, my brothers and sisters, and I declare that Jesus Christ is the master. He's the head of my life. He's the captain of my ship. He's the keeper of my soul. He's the leader. He's my guide. He's my anchor. And he's my way out of nowhere at all. And Jesus is the head over all things to the church. And so Jeremiah says again, get this. Jeremiah said, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my flock, said the Lord. Oh, yes, these so-called pastors back then were leading folk astray back then. Just like a whole lot of these so-called pastors are leading folk astray today by saying and teaching things that are not in harmony and in accordance to the written word of God. And what's sad about it, what's this, is that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 14, Jesus said, let them alone, for they are blind leaders. And if the blind shall lead the blind, the Lord says what? Both shall fall into the ditch. But listen, my friend, if you're on the line, and if you want to be saved today, my friend, and if one day you wish to make heaven your home, then you're going to have to listen to, accept, and obey the words of Jesus. You're going to have to listen to and take heed to the words of the master and not the pastor. But Jesus says again clearly in St. John 12 and verse 47, Jesus said, if any man hear not my words and believe not, if any man hear my words, brother, and believe not, Jesus says, I judge him not. For I've come not to judge the world, but to save the world. But he that rejected me and received not my words, Jesus said, he had one to judge him. The same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus said, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father, which has sent me, He gave me commandments what I should say and what I should speak. And so I'm standing here raising and asking the question again this morning, my friend, and that is, who do you believe? The master or the pastor? You see, my friend, within the religious realm of society in which we live today, the world is flooded and saturated and filled with many false prophets, false religious teachers, false and fake and phony preachers who have taken total control and completely advantage of honest, innocent, but naive, God-fearing people all over the world as they capitalize. Watch this, brother Webster. And they mesmerize, and they manipulate, and they captivate their minds, which undoubtedly control the way we think, which in turn control the way we act and how we live and what we believe religiously. Simply by exploiting, that's not a unit. They exploit, they misinterpret, they mishandle, they misinform, they misapply the word of God solely and purposely. Why, Carter? For power, for money, and personal gain. These preachers today, I know they're not Church of Christ preachers, because they got Lear checks and million-dollar houses in the hill. But I heard Peter and John one day say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. And watch this. These slick, cunning, and crafty individuals are able to succeed in their evil, premeditated schemes, simply because many folks, this is how they get away with it. You see, many folks today, even those who are considered to be regular church attendees, but who have neglected their own personal and individual responsibility in examining and studying and searching the truth of God's word for themselves, never taking heed or obeying biblical instructions. As the Apostle Paul, as he once instructed, y'all know the story of the young preacher Timothy, that up and coming young gospel preacher. Paul commanded Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, Paul says, study, young man, why, Paul, to show thyself approved unto God, not me, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly handling and dividing the word of truth. In other words, it's right to come to church, my friend. It's right to come to church services and hear the words of your local preacher. But when it comes down to knowing exactly what God says concerning your own personal life and your soul salvation, then you are going to have to study the Bible for yourself. Just like those Christians. You got to do it just like those Christians did in the city of Berea, of whom the Bible says, according to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11, Bible said those Christians at Berea were more noble or more knowledgeable than those Christians that were in the city of Thessalonica. In that, first of all, the Bible said they received the word with all readiness of man, and then they searched the scriptures daily, or they checked out every day the things that the apostles were teaching in order to see if those things were so, or to see if those teachings were according to the word of God. In other words, those Christians at Berea wanted to make sure what the apostles were teaching them, that it was script and not lip. Look, I love me, and don't y'all get it wrong, but I love me some Brother Webster now. And Brother Webster seemed like a good preacher of Southland area. But don't y'all get it twisted. Don't get so caught up on the message and stop paying attention to the message. Because if the messenger's message is not in sync with the unadulterated word of God, then you might find yourself believing a pastor instead of the master. And so those Christians at Berea didn't just accept the first thing that came out of the preacher's mouth, but every day of the week, they got their own personal Bibles and examined them and cross-examined them to see what was being said from the pulpit and to see if that thing lined up with the written word of God. Oh, if people today would just take the time out of their busy schedule, if folk would take out some time and get their faces off of Facebook and put their faces in the book. Get off Instagram. Get off that internet chat room trying to see what everybody else is saying. And go and close yourself in your own private bedroom. Open up your Bible and see what thus said the Lord. If folk today, and especially those so-called Church of Christ folk and people on earth, if you would just sit down and open up the book and find the place where it is written, then and only then could our religious world of confusion rid itself of all that erroneous biblical error and damnable doctrines which have plagued and poisoned the hearts and the minds of good, honest, and sincere men, women, and children, not only in Chicago, but all over the world. You see, a daily dosage, my friend. I tell folks this all the time. A daily dosage of God's word could help you and aid you to living a better quality of life for the Lord. And it would also keep you from engaging and entangling yourselves in the practice of sin. You see, I've always said, and I've always taught, that dusty Bible would lead to dirty lives. And this book, the Bible will lead you, my friend. The Bible will keep you from sin. But guess what? Sin will keep you from the Bible. And all I'm trying to say this morning is don't take the preacher's word over God's word. Don't get so caught up and spellbound with the messenger. And don't pay close attention to his message to see whether or not what he is teaching and preaching is completely in compliance and coming directly out of the word of God. And so listen, as we go back, and that time flies, but as we go back and as we look back and revisit these two passages of scripture, coming from both the Old Testament and New Testament, where again, God says to us, and I believe that God is speaking directly to someone on this land today. God says through the prophet of the prophetic revelation of Jeremiah the prophet, as well as through the powerful words of Jesus Christ, God said, first of all, to Jeremiah, woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep from the flock. Then the Bible said, Jesus said, if any man hear not my words, had one to judge him. And he that rejected me and received not my word, had one that judge him. He, because the word, that Jesus said, the same words that I'm telling you, that I'm speaking to you, shall judge you in the last day. And so I reiterate this morning, and I'll say to you, time after time after time again, that when it comes down to your religious position in life, I don't care who your pastor is. The question is, who do you believe, the master or the pastor? Now listen, and I got to hurry. Listen to this. And if you ain't sitting down, sit down. Listen to this. It was in the year 1978, on November the 8th, to be exact, in a small village known as Jonestown in Guyana, Africa, that a so-called preacher by the name of James Warren, better known as Pastor Jim Jones, who was the founder and the spiritual leader of a religious cult-type group by the name of the People's Temple, which actually had its origin somewhere in the state of Indiana during the time of the 50s, but then later moved its fast-growing congregation to California in the early 60s. Well, listen, history denotes that Jim Jones was responsible for the suicidal deaths of over nearly 900 people, including men, women, and children, along with the deaths of nine other individuals who managed to make it and run to a nearby airport strip, only to be shot down in cold blood. And among those nine people was a United States, if you don't believe me, check it out, Google it. Among those nine people was a United States congressman by the name of Leo Ryan, who had come along with his political group to investigate the strange behaviors of Jim Jones' group, but who would ultimately become murdered, as well with so many. Now only, listen, my friend, only if those religious members of the People's Temple Movement had only studied their Bibles for themselves and would have listened and have taken heed to the words of the master, as opposed to listening to and taking advice and following the instruction of the so-called pastor, then somewhat beyond the shadow of a doubt, if not all of those same precious souls will still perhaps be alive today. But now there is nothing that could ever be done about that sad and tragic a situation in history, which took place in Jonestown in Guyana, Africa. For you see, those folk made a choice which cost not only for them to lose their own physical life, but they made a decision to commit suicide by drinking some spiked Kool-Aid laced with cyanide poison at the instruction and the command of the pastor, which would ultimately cost them their lives. But worse than that, listen to this, church. It would also jeopardize their chances of ever making it to heaven, because suicide is a sin that one cannot later repent of in this life. And Jesus Christ, the master, Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3, Jesus said that if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. He said, repent or perish. Am I right about it? So yes, those folks lost their lives. And yes, many of those folks even may lose their souls because they took the words of the pastor instead of obeying and heeded to the words of the master. Then, I'm not done. On August 17, 1959, there was a man by the name of David Koresh, who was born Vernon Wayne Howe, who was the so-called spiritual leader of a group better known as the Branch Davidian Group, who were located, y'all know the story, in the city of Waco, Texas. Now, David Koresh, somehow he coerced, betwixt, and deceived, and brainwashed, and bamboozled all of his followers into believing that he was the last and the final prophet. But now, unfortunately, in the year 1993, all out raid by the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco, firearms and explosives, as well as a subsequent seize by the FBI, they quickly ended this group's existence by torching and burning down the Branch Davidian Ranch just outside the city limits, where a total of 54 adults and 21 children were found charred and completely burned to death beyond recognition. Then, I got one more for you. I'm talking about the master or the pastor. In the year 1997, the founder of a religious group known as Heaven's Gate, named Marshall Applewhite, he organized a mass suicide in Rancho B, California, which was an exclusive, expensive suburb of San Diego. Whereas Applewhite somehow persuaded over 21 men or women and 18 men to get so caught up in a theory concerning the comet Halley-Bopp, having in the belief that when they die, that their soul would be taken by this vessel into another planet where they would ascend from there up into heaven by the way of a spacecraft. That sounds crazy to start with. And how they would receive a new spiritual body. And so all of those people dressed up, y'all remember, in their black Nike outfits, and ultimately would take their own lives simply because they listened to and they had more confidence in their pastor than they did in the master. And so once again, my brothers and sisters, I got to close. It was just like it was in the case of Johnstown, Guyana, Waco, Texas, then in Santa Fe, California, where many folk lost their lives, their precious souls, by foolishly taking the advice of and following men rather than God. They listened to and obeyed the voice of the pastor instead of listening to and following the advice of the master. Well, they could have done like Peter and John, where Peter and John said in Acts chapter 14 and verse number 19, that whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, they were talking to those religious leaders back then. Peter stood them flat footed and looked them straight in the eyes. And Peter said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than God, judge ye. And then in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter responded to his oppressors back then. Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. But oh, these men, these same folk, had they only believed and listened to and taken advice of the master instead of the pastor, no doubt they would still be alive. They would have, if they have read and heard that it was Jesus, the master teacher, who declared in John chapter 4 and verse number 6, Jesus, listen up, friend, had those folk in Guyana, Africa, in Waco, Texas, had those folk over there in Rancho Beach, California, had they listened to the words of John, what John said, Jesus said, I am the way, not Jim Jones, but I am the way, not David Koresh, I am the way, not Marshall Applegate, not T.D. Jakes, not Joel Osteen, not Creflo Dollar, but Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father except by me. Well, I only got one question this morning, and that is when it truly comes to your soul's salvation. My friend, I ain't talking about them folk in Africa. I ain't talking about them folk in California. But when it comes to your soul's salvation, who do you believe? The master or the pastor? Time is of the essence. But as I close, and I just ain't got time, I'm going to have to come to Chicago and preach this sermon again. But when you talk about the pastor will tell you that baptism is non-essential to one's salvation. All you got to do is believe. That's what the pastor say. But the master say, go ye into all the earth and preach the gospel. And he that believeth and conjunction, what's your function? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, I'm telling you, in order to be saved, you got to be baptized, no matter what the pastor say. And then the pastors are running all over Chicago, all over the world, and they'll tell you that one church is just as good as another. But the master, Bible says, he came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He began to ask the disciple, who do men say that I the Son of Man am? And Lord, some say that John, that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elias. Some say that Jeremiah. And Lord, some of you didn't know who you was, so they say you're just one of the prophets. But I came on Zoom to tell you this morning, church, that Jesus was not just one of the prophets, but he was the prophet that made prophets. And Jesus turned around, not being satisfied with the popular opinion on the minds of men. He asked old Peter, who, Peter, do you believe that I, the Son of Man, am. Peter said, thou are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Peter, you ain't that smart. Flesh and blood had not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which art in heaven. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And the Lord says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, 18, Jesus said, on this rock, not on you, Peter, but on the confession that you made that I am the Christ, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, not them. Oh, yes, my friend. Jesus built only one church, regardless what the pastor says. And that one church is the only place wherein salvation can be found. And in order to become a member of that blood-bought institute called the Church of Christ, somebody said, Potter, why do you call it a blood-bought institute? Because according to Acts chapter 20, the Bible said that Jesus, he purchased the church with his own shedded blood. And for the life of me, I can't see how people can go out and be members of churches that were built and founded by man when Jesus shed his blood in order to purchase the church. But the problem is people are listening to the master, to the pastor instead of the master. But I don't know about anybody else this morning, but I'm going to stick with the master and not the pastor, because when I think of the master, I quickly realize, listen, I'm closing. Time cannot outlast him. New Age can't replace him. Religious leaders and biblical scholars can't outsmart him. Bobby Walter, Donahue, Dr. Field, and even Oprah Winfrey can't explain him. They want to call him the higher power, but I came on this Zoom telecast to tell you that his name is Jesus. His name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. His name is the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. He's the Christ. He's the Son of the Living God. I wonder if anybody on this Zoom telecast know who he is. I wonder, does anybody beside myself know who Jesus is, knows his name? His name is not Buddha. His name is not Confucius. His name is not Allah. His name is not Elijah Muhammad. His name is not the Pope. His name is not the inner power or the big guy up there. But his name is Jesus. He's my Redeemer. He's my Savior. He's my guide. He's my ruler. He's my way out of no way. He's my peace. He's my joy. And Jesus is my comfort. And he is my Lord. I tell you, when I fall, he picks me up. When I'm lost, he guides me. When I'm weak, he gives me strength. When I'm hurt, he heals me. When I mess up, he gives me another chance. When I face trials, Jesus is my lawyer. When I'm sick, Jesus is my doctor. When I'm broke, Jesus is my banker. Just give me a blank check and say, sign the check. When I'm persecuted and attacked, Jesus is my buckler and my shield. And when the day that I have to face death, and when the day that you have to face death, Jesus will be my resurrection and my life. Oh, somebody needs to hear the words of the master, because his ways are always right. His words are always true. His will is always perfect. His love is always unending, undying, and unconditional. His protection is always on time. Don't you know that Jesus is an on-time God? That when I face death, Jesus will be there, and his promises, because promises are always eternal. Oh, yes, Jesus is a light. If ain't nobody ever told you, he's a light in the dark place. He's goodness in the time of trials and tribulation. Jesus is kindness in a world of bitterness and hate. He's relief in a bad situation and during an unfavorable circumstance. And thank God that Jesus is righteous in a world of iniquity and sin. I wonder if anybody here today know the name of Jesus and know who the master is. Somebody here today, you need to give your life to Jesus. And someone on the Zoom telecast needs to make Jesus the master of your life, because Jesus is the shelter, is our shelter in the time of need. He's our present help in the time of trouble. He's bread When we're hungry, ain't him right about it. He's water. When we're thirsty, medicine. When we're sick, he's the balm of Gilead. He's Mary's baby. He's Daniel's stone and Jeremiah's hammer. He's Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. Jesus is the door. He's the vine. He's the good shepherd. And he is the truth and the life. He's the lamb that was slain and the lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes, Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last, beginning and the end. I wonder if y'all know who Jesus is. And if that don't impress you, then try this for size. Somebody need to know on this Zoom telecast that Jesus is like Coca-Cola. He's the real thing. He like Pepsi Cola. He got a lot to give. He like Bear Aspens. He was wonder. He like Dow Soap. He gives a round of crop protection. He like Prudential Insurance. But he's not just a piece of the rock, but he is the Rock of Ages. He like Allstate Insurance. When you're in your hand, you're in good hand. He like Nationwide. He's on your side. He like Ford automobile because he got a better idea. Jesus is like a Chevy truck. He's solid and rock. He's like a Delta Airline. He's ready when you are. He's like United Airlines. He flies the friendly skies. He's like Pan Am. He makes the going great. Jesus is like Alka-Seltzer. Try him and you like him. He's like Folger coffee. He's good to the last drop. Jesus is like camel soup. He's good. He like McDonald's. The Lord loves to see you smile. He like standing all. You expect more from him. And guess what? You'll get it. He like Scott Tate, my friend. You can't see him, but you know he's there. He like Bill Five hairspray ladies. He holds together in all kind of weather. He like Tide detergent. You get the tough stains out of the leave behind. And young folk, listen. Jesus is like a box of Kellogg's cornflakes. He's great. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to serve him to the day I die. I'm going to serve the master and not the pastor. If you're here this morning and know not Jesus in the pardon of your sin, the Bible says, faith come by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. You must believe with all your heart that Jesus, not only is he the master, but he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then you must repent of your past sin, Luke 13:3. Confess the sweet name on tongue. That is, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That confession brought death to Christ, but it'll bring joy, peace, and love to your life evermore. Then last but not least, you got to go down in the liquid grave of baptism for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sin. Go down, a sinner. Come up, a saint. Go down, a child of darkness. Come up, a child of the light. Bible said all things would have passed away, and behold, all things will be made new. And when you come out of that walk, make no friends about him. I don't care what the pastor say. Don't kill me, my pastor said. Well, what did the master say? When you come out of that walk, Acts 2:47. Bible said when the folk come up out of that water, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, not the preacher, the Lord added, they didn't join. But the Lord added to the church, not the church of your choice, but the church of God's choice. And it's called the church of Christ. That's why Paul says in Romans 16:16. Paul said, my friend, salute one another with a holy kiss. Why, Paul? Because the churches of the Baptist. No. The churches of the Methodist. No. The churches of the Jehovah's Witness. No. Paul said the churches of Christ. Salute you. My friend, that's Bible 101. And I don't know about you today, but I'm just glad to be able to tell somebody about that anybody that can save everybody. If you would just listen to the words of the master and not the pastor.